Well, good morning, everyone. Hope everyone is well. There was a pastor who was having a conversation with a young boy about the church and some of the things that they did on Sunday morning. And the conversation shifted to the importance of the fellowship hour as they always served coffee at that time. And the pastor looked at the boy and says, "Do you know why we serve coffee?" And the young boy responded, "Probably to wake everybody up before they go home." I hope it's not like that here. But the young boy may not be far off. Sometimes we do need to wake up. And indeed, people as a whole need to wake up. The church needs to wake up. And there's probably no graphic depiction of waking up than that of our Old Testament reading that we heard today. First, I want us to understand a little bit of background on Ezekiel. The Hebrews are in exile in Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. Ezekiel was about 30 years old, having been in exile since he was about 13 years old. And he was the son of a priest and was now a priest himself, and a respected one at that. And back in the very first chapter of his writing, we hear these words: "In the 13th year, in the fourth month of the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kibar River, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." Ezekiel is now anointed as a prophet, as God begins to reveal some pretty dramatic images, beginning here at this river. The revelation that he is given is so vivid and dramatic. And there's probably no Old Testament reading as vivid as the one that we read today. If we were to look at this valley Ezekiel is being shown from the North American perspective, we might think of something like Death Valley, located at the border of Nevada and Southern California. It has the reputation of being the hottest place in the Northern Hemisphere in the summer. And its temperatures in the summer will reach like 120 to 130 degrees. We see names in the valley like Furnace Creek, Bad Water, Stovepipe Airport, the mountain range called Funeral Mountains. It's a pretty grim image, isn't it? Well, think about how you would feel if God picked you up in the spirit and sat you in the middle of Death Valley. Well, that's how Ezekiel probably felt, with one huge exception. Within the word, he is probably one of the most, this vision he is given, because we are in this, he's in this massive pile of bones as well. Imagine that. This had to be eerie for Ezekiel, if not frightening. But there's a powerful lesson here for Ezekiel and for us. And I want to focus on three points. One is the question asked of Ezekiel. The second one is the response that Ezekiel gives. And finally, what God does with the response. Now here's the question. God said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now what would be your response? You see, the average person, we would look at this picture of devastation and we would probably be pretty direct. These are bones. These people have been dead for a long time. They're dry, sun-bleached. There's absolutely no way that these bones have any life in them at all. But remember, God is asking the question. This question is not coming from a classroom. This question is not coming from a conversation with a group of friends. If you and I were standing at the corner of Death Valley and we looked out and saw a bunch of dead cow bones and we asked that question, we say, "Nope, it probably would never happen." So why do you think God would ask Ezekiel the question? We probably wanted to find out where Ezekiel's heart is. He probably wanted to know just how much trust and faith Ezekiel had in him. And here is where we hear the response. Ezekiel didn't say, "Of course they can. His ego's not that big." Nor neither did Ezekiel say, "No, they cannot." Because Ezekiel knew that he cannot take God out of the picture. It has to be of God. So Ezekiel says, "Oh Lord, you know. Oh sovereign Lord, you know the answer to that question." In other words, "Lord, only You can do such a thing and make it happen. Only you, Lord, can even cause such a thing to happen. Lord, no man can cause this to happen. You see, for Ezekiel, this opens a whole new realm of who God is. He is not only God that we worship and we acknowledge and that he exists. This is not a God that we only teach about and see in history. Ezekiel's response is a complete surrender to the understanding that if such a thing can be done, and it is going to happen, only God can do it. Oh Lord, you know. Now we come to an important part of this lesson that God is giving Ezekiel. God has asked the question. Ezekiel has submitted to the authority of the Father. And now God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones, and this is what you say. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I'll make breath enter you. You will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. Now Ezekiel has a choice. Ezekiel can look at this valley and say, wow, this is ridiculous. It kind of goes back to one of the blind spots that I spoke about last week. Or he can do exactly what the Lord told him to do. And he did it. And this is important. He didn't stop to analyze the words. He didn't try to change it into something else. He didn't try to turn the words around to make it more palatable for the human race. He didn't water it down with other words. He gave the words exactly as the Lord said to give it. And just as the Lord had said, the bones came together. And then the tendons and the flesh and the meat and the skin. And then God said, prophesy about the breath, and breath came. The key to this whole dialogue with God is that Ezekiel is being obedient to the work of the Spirit through him. What seemed impossible is made possible because God is working through it. What we need to understand is this. No faith is needed to do something possible. I mean, I can pick up this right here. There's no faith needed to do that necessarily. Over and over again through Scripture, however, God asks people to do what we think we can't. God asks his people to trust him and to listen to him. And it's not a matter of how hard we try, it's a matter of how much we trust him. There's no way Ezekiel could do what he did on his own. You see, it takes submission to what God wants to do. And that's the point. It's not what we want to do, but what God wants to do in and through us. Here's why God took Ezekiel in the spirit to that valley. God was bringing a nation back together. And he wanted to use Ezekiel to bring that word to them. He wanted to bring spiritual life back to where rebellion had caused spiritual death and exile and separation from the Lord. The Hebrew people lost sight of God, and they have been spiritually dried up. They were the valley of dry bones. They needed new life brought into them. And Ezekiel brought that word to them right from the mouth of God. And that is exactly the point Jesus is making in our gospel reading today as well. Here we see another dramatic movement of the Spirit of God. This is the last miracle that Jesus performed before his own arrest, trial, and execution. There's no doubt that Lazarus was dead. He's been anointed. He's been wrapped up. He's been laying in the tomb for 4 days. And here, too, we see what is seemingly impossible. But Jesus' timing is always perfect. The disciples could only see the natural. It didn't even make sense to them. This is the same place that Jesus had just left where people tried to stone him. Just listen to what Thomas said. Oh, let's go back with him. We'll die as well with him. Where's the faith? After all they had seen, they just can't grasp on to what God is doing here. Eventually they will. But through the Spirit of God, Jesus does what he is called to do. The irony here is that through the miracle of raising Lazarus to new life, Jesus sets into motion events that will lead to his own death and his own resurrection and the opening of the door for us as well to be resurrected. And he did all that for one reason. God wants to bring life into the people who are spiritually dead. He wants people to know the truth of his word. You see, you can have the best programs in the world in your church, and they might attract people. You might have the best marketing in your church, and that will attract people. You might have the best small group ministry, the best concerts, the best that man can do under his own power. And there's nothing wrong with any of those. However, if the Spirit of God is not in it, if the Spirit of God is not directing it, if the Spirit of God is not being listened to, there's no power in it. God wanted to work through Ezekiel in his own way. Jesus was submissive to the Father to make a point of his power and to bring about what he needed to be done. He asked no less of us. Listen to what Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Can you imagine what God can do through those who are willing? Can you imagine yourself being used like Ezekiel was used? Do you know that between Sarasota County and Manatee County, Sarasota, Bradenton area, and our communities have between 600 and 700,000 people, if you include the county areas. And among those people are a lot of dry bones. People who are lost, dead to sin, people who are searching for reason to life, for meaning of life, people who have fallen away, who maybe had some idea about who God is, but have lost it and walked away. God has given us his written word. Look through God's word. The same Spirit that showed that valley of dry bones to Ezekiel is the same Spirit that rose Lazarus from the dead. It's the same Spirit that touched and worked through Paul and all the disciples once the Spirit landed on them. And he still shows us valleys where people need to be brought alive in the Spirit, where others have dried up and need to be restored. It's the same Spirit that is alive in the church today. Because it is the body of Christ that God chooses to work through. The body of Christ. All the body of Christ in this area. It didn't say that, just say that Jesus, what Jesus, the problem for many of us is that we want to water down the gospel. They want to change the message. If God is who he says he is, and he is, then we need to step out in faith. Because it just might be that we're being asked the same question. Can these bones live? Can these bones come alive? Can the breath of God come to them? How would you answer the question? Might it be, oh Lord, you know. And then trust him. See what he can do through you. Ask him what he wants to do through you. And seek him with all of your heart. The body of Christ is alive. And he wants to use us and guide us. Allow the Spirit of God to enter into your heart and allow him to use you in ways that you never imagined. It might seem like an impossible task. I'm sure Ezekiel saw that and thought, there's no way I can do it. The disciples didn't think Lazarus could rise from the dead. But he has done so many things in and through the church and continues to do it. Allow him to work through you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. for your life-giving Spirit. Father, we thank you that you want to raise your church up, Lord God. We thank you that you want to move in ways that we never thought imaginable. So, Father, we ask that you would move in your body here in this area, that churches all over this community would come alive, Lord God, with your Spirit, that dry bones would come alive. Lord, we're going into the Easter season. We're going to where people come to church that have never been to church since last Easter. And Father, we ask that you would move mightily in the churches where people are coming, searching for something that is real, searching for some spiritual truth in their lives. So Father, I ask that you would move mightily through your pastors in this area, through your churches in this area. Allow the church to come alive and bring forth your message this coming 2 weeks, Lord God. We thank you. We give it to you, Father. And we ask that you would move by your Spirit. Oh Lord, you know. And we ask that you would use us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.